music so intense you will find yourself asking,
is this really Christian?
Yes, it is. And now, for the host of My Dad Rocks, here is Pastor Alan Ward.
All right, here we go. Here we go. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready because we're going to crank it up a notch today. Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Dad Rocks. It's your hour of power where you hear rock and roll for your soul. And as I said, we're going to ramp it up. We're going to play some of my heavier favorites today, some heavy stuff from the 80s and the 90s. And you know, all of these songs are going to speak about things that we need to hear, things that we need to have brought to our attention, things that we need to be reminded of, truths that we need to act on, because every single one of us are going to stand before God and give an account for these things. And so we need to hear them. And that's my hope and prayer, that you this will listen to this show and it'll get you ready for that day, the day of judgment, when we will all stand before God. And I want you to come through unscathed from that judgment and enter into the glorious kingdom of God. And speaking about kingdoms, there's something that's happening here every day that you may not be aware of, and that is there's a spiritual war going on. There's a spiritual battle. Did you know that there's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness, one of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, and that they are waging war every day all around us? Well, that's what Tourniquet sings about in this first song. It's called Swarming Spirits. Hey, that was Tourniquet Swarming Spirits. The Tourniquet is a very good, technically sound speed metal band. The drummer is the one who's very talented. He plays not only drums but guitar, and he writes a lot of their songs. Anyways, that was off their very first album. And you know what they sang about is true, whether you know it or not. There's a battle raging over your soul. The devil and the host of fallen angels who went with him in their rebellion against God that were cast down to earth, they are actively seeking to destroy you. The devil's agenda was made very clear by Jesus in John 10, verse 10. It says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And that's what all your temptations are about. You see, the devil and his demons are trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And the devil is out there. He's out there for your destruction, but he's offering you something that's the complete, he tells you or promises you rather, there's something different that's going on here, that you're having fun or this is the way to pleasure and the way to happiness. But in reality, all he's trying to do is destroy you. Now, Jesus has a totally different agenda for you. In that same verse, in the second half of it, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And again, that's in John, the Gospel of John, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10. And Jesus says, I've come to give you a full and meaningful and extraordinary kind of life, the kind you're looking for, and the money and in the sex and in the Oxycontin and the pot and the beer and all the stuff that you do, all these things that you know are wrong. That's what you're really looking for. You're looking for happiness or a full and meaningful life, a pleasurable life, a happy life. But it's the very opposite. You know, if you haven't figured that out by now, living in sin makes you miserable. And worse, the devil is using that sin to destroy you, to steal and to kill. But living for Jesus Christ will give you this abundant life. It will be what you've always been looking for, but you've never been able to find. That's what it is. Living in obedience to God's word will bring you true happiness. In Psalm 119:1, the psalmist says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happiness is not found in worldly living, but in blameless living. And blameless living simply means to live your life in accordance to God's word. Well, let's listen to another one of my favorites from the 80s. It's Deliverance with Weapons of Our Warfare. We'll be right back. Hey, Deliverance, Weapons of Our Warfare, off their second CD, a great CD. I just recently got it back. I let somebody borrow it several years ago, and of course, they never gave it back, and now I've moved 5,000 miles away, and I didn't have it. But fortunately, Amazon had it back down for download, so I purchased it the other day. So I thought I'd play a selection of it because it's one of my favorite songs off that album. Anyways, I like this song because, and I've always liked this song, because it reminds me that my battle as a Christian in this world is not against flesh and blood. The Apostle Paul said over in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And, you know, since we're dealing with a spiritual warfare against Satan and his crew and not a physical war against a physical enemy, you know, we don't wage war against flesh and blood, not against people. And we don't use fleshly weapons or fleshly means to fight. We use spiritual weapons and spiritual means to fight. And that's what the Apostle Paul said over in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. He said, "For we, though we walk in the flesh," though we're humans, "and though we walk around in our flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powered for the destruction of fortresses, for destroying, we are destroying speculation and every lofty thing that's raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Now, God's word is our offensive weapon as a Christian, and that's the means we should use: prayer, fasting, and the word of God to fight our warfare. And it shouldn't be against people. It should be against the forces that are behind the movements and philosophies that people have. The Apostle Paul listed Christian's armor over in Ephesians 6, and the only offensive weapon he listed was the sword of the Spirit, verse 17, chapter 6 of Ephesians, which is, he says, the word of God. So God's word has the ability to show me truth from error. It can inform me and it can warn me of the devil and his schemes. It tears down the strongholds of worldly wisdom and philosophies that are constantly popping around and going everywhere and gaining ground in different places. It can help me destroy those speculations and those things and show me the falsity of those. And therefore, a true Christian knows and uses the Word of God every day in this warfare that's raging all around us. How about you? If you call yourself a Christian, do you use the Word of God? Is it an important thing to you in your life? I hope it is.
Okay.
Was Blood Good with Vagrant People. I always liked that song. Vagrant, you know, describes a person who doesn't really have a home. They just kind of wander around from place to place, and they just kind of stand idly by doing nothing. That's what vagrants is, why we have vagrancy laws. But you know what? The band uses that idea to show that most people are vagrant in the sense that they just wander around from one thing to another thing, trying to find fulfillment, trying to find a home, if you will. And they do really nothing of eternal significance. And they sang, "A vagrant people, you shake your fist. The blade that cuts you turn and kiss. Your master hates you and you'll have your head." You see, everybody's on a quest for joy. That's what mankind's on, a quest for joy, for happiness, true happiness. But the vast majority are looking to the wrong things. People are deceived, as we mentioned earlier, in that the fact that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the purpose behind every temptation you face. And when you sin, you indeed kiss the blade that cuts you. And Proverbs 8:36 says this, "But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death." If you are living in sin, you are going nowhere.
Life is short, so go and try. Grab all you can before you die. Easy as you, you're going nowhere. Someone came and died for you, but you just want your pleasure. New life is waiting, it's free.
Bering Cross with Going Nowhere. They sang God's love is here and he wants to free you and me. You know, sin is not the answer. Christ is the answer. God has clearly demonstrated that he loves the world. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ died not simply so that people could go to heaven when they die, but so that they could live like heaven while on earth. The Bible says that Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds, Titus 2:14. Christ can set you free from the chains of sin that bind you, and that's what they are. Proverbs says in 5:22, Proverbs 5, verse 22, his own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. They're like chains. Christ wants to set you free so that you can become the person God created you to be. Well, what is that? Well, the Bible says that when a person becomes a Christian, they become a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And this new creation, this new person that we become, is continually being conformed into the image that God created mankind in the very beginning. The book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says this, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created us. You remember, God made man in his own image, Genesis says. And this image is described in Ephesians 4:22 this way, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Is that happening in your life if you claim to be a Christian? Is that the process happening where you're being changed and made into the image of Christ and in all righteousness and holiness of the truth? I hope it is for you. If it's not, you need to wake up. Next is a more intense group called Vengeance Rising, and this is their song, Mulligan Stew. Vengeance Rising, Mulligan Stew. Very graphic song there. It talks about a sinful lifestyle, a song that describes a person who is looking for satisfaction, and they think it can be found in beer and cigarettes, and then that doesn't work, so they go on to harder drugs, and then their life just kind of totally spins out of control. And the guys in those bands, some of them came out of that background. They became Christians out of that background, so they write about the things they know. And they talked about how Jesus Christ came to call not the righteous, but the sinners. And they got that out of the Bible in Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The scribes and the Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, and they said to his disciples, you know, why is he eating with and drinking with tax collectors and sinners? And hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Hey, that's great news. I mean, if you're into drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality and adultery, then you're just the kind of person Jesus came to save. Don't let the devil fool you into believing that God wants nothing to do with you. That, you know, Jesus came to call sinners, he said. If you're a sinner, then Jesus is calling you today to repent and surrender your life to him. And the band also warned that Jesus Christ was coming and that the day of judgment is going to come with him when he returns. So, you know, they were saying you better surrender your life now to Christ and leave your sinful way behind. And Striper sings a song about Christ's return, and it's called The Rain. That was The Rain, not as in the wet stuff, but as in the kingdom kind of rain by Striper. And, you know, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Striper invites you in that song to come and be a part of the reign, not a victim of the reign of King Jesus. Because when Christ comes back, he's going to reward and he's going to repay, actually. Reward and repay. He's going to repay those who did not live for him, and he's going to reward those who did. So don't be a victim. Join. Be a part of the reign, because those who belong to Christ will reign with him. But you know what? Too many people think that they are still king of their lives, and they live for themselves totally. And Baron Cross sings a song about this. Here's Baron Cross with Living Dead.
Yeah.
Cross with Living Dead. And when Baron Cross sings about the living dead, they're not singing a title track to some horror movie. They're singing about the vast majority of humanity. And what are you talking about? Well, Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3 tells us this. and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." You see, most people are living dead. They're spiritually dead. If a person dies, they're cut off from the land of the living. We can't interact with them because they're dead. And so also, that's what spiritual deadness means with God. We are cut off from God. We can't interact with him because we're spiritually dead. God is a spirit, and he must be interacted with. He must have a relationship with us on a spiritual level. So as a result, we live, because since we're spiritually dead and can't relate to God, we relate to those things we can't interact with, which is the world and the indulging of our desires of the flesh and of the mind. And, you know, we don't have to end that way, though. We don't have to remain that way, because God has made a way for us to be brought to life spiritually so that we can have a relationship with him, and that's through Jesus Christ. And the book of Ephesians goes on to say, just a few verses down from that I just quoted, in verses 4 and 5, it says this: "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So God has to make us spiritually alive. He has to bring us to life spiritually. The Bible calls that being born again. It calls it a lot of other things, the new life, the new self, the new man. That's what it means, though, that God can bring us to life through Christ. And it goes on to say there in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared so that we would walk beforehand, so that we would walk in them." You see, there's no amount of good deeds that you can do to make yourself come to life spiritually, because you're dead. Only God can do that. Just as if somebody around here was to drop dead, there's nothing they could do to bring themselves back to life. Now, if we had somebody that, you know, could shock them back into life with the paddles or whatever, that would be something outside of them acting upon them to bring them back. But they themselves couldn't bring themselves back. Neither can we. We're dead spiritually. We're cut off from God. We can't make ourselves come back. No matter how much good we do, it's not going to work. Only God can zap us with his Holy Spirit through the ministry of his word and cause us to come to life spiritually so that we can interact with him and come alive spiritually. And I hope that's happened for you. If it hasn't, I encourage you to read the Bible and see what it says and see what God would have to say to you about that very thing. Well, here's Tourniquet with "You Get What You Pray For."
All of a sudden, no!
Hey, that was Tourniquet again with You Get What You Pray For, also off their first album that they did. The band urges us to pray and specifically to surrender your life to Christ before it's too late. Baron Cross urges in that song for us to do that. And you know what? The Bible, that's what all you have to do really is to cry out to God for mercy. In Luke 18:13, Jesus told a parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the tax collector is, you know, was a very notorious person in that society, was hated by the Jews and the Romans, and everybody didn't like him because they were thieves. But you know what? Jesus said that that man was praying to God, and he said this, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And Jesus says that he went home justified, or he went home saved, or going to heaven because of his cry for mercy. And as they sang in that song, you get what you pray for, but you got to believe is what they sang in that song. And that's what you see that in the tax collector statement, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner." He believed several things. He believed, number one, that he was the greatest sinner. He says the sinner. He saw his sin. He was sorry for his sin. He was grieved and burdened about his sin. He knew that he deserved judgment. And then he knew that also there was forgiveness and mercy with God. So he cried out to God. And you have to believe those two things in order to truly be saved. You can't just say, "Oh, God, send me to heaven," and then keep living like you want to live. You have to believe that you're a sinner. You have to know you're a sinner, not just admit that you do wrong, but feel the weight of that sin and believe that that sin is as horrible as the Bible says it is, and that the judgment that comes along with it is actually going to happen to you. Then you cry out for God for mercy. Well, here's Baron Cross singing "Give Your Life to Jesus." Cross with "Give Your Life to Jesus." You know what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13? It says, "But as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, those who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of man, or flesh, the will of man, but of God." You receive Christ. You turn your life over to him. You surrender him. Over in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler, and he said, when he asked him what did he have to do to inherit eternal life, what after to go to heaven, he was basically asking Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. You see, it's not simply about believing in Jesus. It's about following Jesus. And for the rich young ruler, that meant changing his life radically as he knew it. He would have to end his life as he knew it because he'd have to sell all that he owned and follow Jesus. And Jesus often said that to people. Instead of saying, hey, believe in me or receive me, he said, follow me. And that's what a real Christian does. They follow Jesus. They look at what he said in the Word, the Bible, and they follow and they do what he says. They follow him. They seek him out. They pray to him. They ask him to guide them. They look at the Word and they do what it says. They follow Jesus. That's what a real disciple is. Or is that you? Well, the White Cross here sings a song. It's going to play us out today of the show. It's called Heaven's Calling Tonight. Don't you listen to the words of this.
Thank you.
That was White Cross with Heaven is Calling Tonight. And you know what? Heaven is calling tonight. Whether you realize it or not, today is the day of salvation. And I encourage you to seek the Lord. If you haven't done that, seek out Jesus Christ. Surrender yourself to Him. I want to invite you as we close out the show to come to church on Sunday. We meet at 10 o'clock in the morning here at Sandpoint Baptist Chapel for Bible study. And then at 11 o'clock, we have our worship service. 7 o'clock that night, we have another Bible study. I just want to encourage you to come out also Wednesday nights. And till next week, you take care and God bless.